Well, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I don't know if it's just me, but it feels a little bit like Monday. So, I'm going to try to get a little bit of a residual Monday out of me and maybe you today. But let's get started. Let's find ourselves in that nice, comfortable starting posture. You can be seated, you can be reclined. I just want you to close those eyes and relax. Your legs can be straight or bent. Not being so caught up in the image of the outside of your body, but more so within the feeling of the inside of your body. And that's a great mantra to have throughout your yoga. Not being so caught up on what the outside looks like, on trying to replicate an image, but instead working off sensation and feel. Those things are happening now. Versus when we go off of looks. We tend to have to use context to do that. Context of what we've seen before or what we've done before, which is pulling us out of the moment. Sense of balance. Sense of openness. Sense of work distribution. A sense of buoyancy, of weightlessness. Those are some of the sensations I want you to work to find, not only now, but throughout your practice. But start now. Just like we would do with the poses. Deconstructing and reconstructing. Not just starting class and saying, hey, let's throw it all together and let's go, triangle pose, warrior one, warrior two. No. It's good to take a few moments to reset the body, to prepare the canvas, so that we can do it right with what the body's giving you today, because there's a great chance it's not giving you exactly the same thing was giving you yesterday or last practice. Very good chance it's not going to give you the same thing next practice. So connect to you today. Find sensation. Find the moment that you're in. And let that really be reflected in each pose that you do today. I want you to lie down if you're not already. Let's just take a few moments to rub the neck. Rub the sides of the neck, the back of the neck, the base of the skull. You can get in there with the fingers and the thumbs. You can massage the scalp. You can scrub the face, get around the eyes. You can move the jaw. You can gently move the head right to left. Right to left. Then it's time to squeeze out a yawn. I want you to stretch out the body. Watch out for toes behind you. Watch out for water bottles. Stretch it out. Squeeze out that yawn. That might be hanging out for Monday. Might be brand new on Tuesday. Stretch out the right side of your body. Stretch out the left side of the body. Stretch out both sides of the spine. Try to get in between individual ribs. Try to extend the right leg out of the hip socket a little bit and the left leg out of the hip socket a little bit. Roll those wrists, those ankles, the fingers and the toes. Maybe even doing an arch here while extended. Do what you need to get into your body. Then let's all walk those heels in towards the hips. And I want you to gently rock those knees right to left. Right to left. Then I want you to lift those hips off the floor. As you lift those hips off the floor, I want you to reach those hands towards the back of the room if they aren't already. An extended bridge pose. Then as you slowly lower those hips back down, let the hands come up and over and down by your hips. And as you lift those hips back up, let the hands go up and over back towards the back of the room. Then as you lower back down, hands go up and over and down by the hips. Back and forth a few more times, nice and slowly. Past couple weeks we've talked about imagining that you're moving through water. The sense of resistance that we would get if we were moving through water, but also the support and levity that we would find from that resistance as if we were moving through water. Feeling that within your practice. Feel supported. Feel that gentle but supportive resistance. Next time you lower those hips back down, you're going to keep the hands down, but then lift the hips back up. Hands stay down by the hips. Hips lift back up off the floor. Let's go into a more traditional bridge pose as we rock right to left to get those shoulders underneath us. Try to shimmy those shoulder blades towards each other. Shimmy, 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 shimmy. Try to shimmy some more. It's hard to say. Shimmy, shimmy more. Okay. Maybe just for me. Let's interlace those fingers underneath us if you can. Okay. And if you can interlace those fingers, you're going to try to shimmy some more using that leverage. Now use the leverage of fingers against fingers to try to open up the chest more and open up the shoulder blades more by pulling against the fingers. Like you're trying to pull the fingers apart. Okay. It's not just a hip lift. Feel the nice chest openness. Now stay lifted, but gently rock this bridge right to left. Just gently. Then before you lower yourself back down, one big inhale to lift and open a little bit more. One big exhale to release the fingers and slowly roll it back down. Once you get the hips to the floor, gently rock the knees right to left. Right to left. Right to left. Good. Then let's hug the knees into the chest. You can take the nose up into the knees if you'd like, but if you lift the head off the floor, make sure you're using the abdominals more than the neck. To lift the head off the floor. You can stay still or gently rock and massage that back. But then let's all release that head back down and yoga lock the big toes. First two fingers around the big toe of each foot and send the heels up towards the ceiling. Try to keep the legs together as much as possible. It's a good thing because we're packed in here a little bit. If you're having a hard time with the hooking of the toes, many of us, especially with tight hamstrings, it's like we're slipping. So, if that's a problem for you, I want you to hook the big toe around the fingers as well as the fingers around the toe. Reaching through the bottoms of the heel, lengthening through the backs of the legs, even if your legs are the furthest thing from straight right now. If you want, you can try to pull those heels towards the back of the room a little bit more. Do a variation of a plow pose. If you begin to take more weight towards the neck, I need you to push the back of the head into the floor though. Push the back of the head gently into the floor to keep security around the sides of the neck and that natural arch of the back of the neck. But then let's all find ourselves into a happy baby pose. Re-gripping under the soles of the feet, pulling those knees down towards the floorboards on the outside of the torso and gently rocking right to left or staying still. But you're trying to pull the knees down towards the floorboards while the shin's about perpendicular to the floor. You can play around with the angles to fit the intensity you're looking for. But from here, Supta Baddha Konasana, butterfly pose on your back. Soles of the feet are together, the knees are wide. Good. In this position, I want you to gently rock that head right to left. Let it feel like you're loosening the head from the neck from the shoulders. Good. And let that head find neutral. Okay. And gently flutter the knees. Flutter the knees in this position. You can even gently rock the knees right to left. Okay. Now stay in this position, but lift the hips off the floor. Soles of the feet still together, knees still out, lifting the hips off the floor. And gently move the hips right to left in this position. Probably not going to go very far. Doesn't have to be very dramatic. More like blowing in the wind a little bit. Then release those hips back down. Help the knees back up. And hug the knees into the chest. Head can be down, head can be up, but let's begin to roll forward and back, forward and back. Getting a little bit higher, getting a little bit higher, and finding yourself in a variation of boat pose with the knees bent and grabbing behind the knees. Okay, the heels can be on the floor if you wish. Otherwise, you're hovering the heels just above the floor. The big constant here is the chest. I want the chest to be open, shoulders back, neck exists. Eyes are soft. Okay. Now see if you can float the arms parallel with the floor, interlacing those fingers. But again, keep the constant of the chest being lifted. Especially now as we take those hands to the right. At any time, if you need to drop the heels down, by all means. Then take the hands to the left. By working the abdominals, we're actually helping to open up the back a little bit here. Let's take the hands to the right once again. Then to the left. Then back to the right. Watch out, there's a good chance that your back is slowly beginning to sink in. Try to keep the chest open. Take the hands to the left. Back to neutral. I'm going to sweep the hands up and then cross the legs and fold forward. Fold forward, reaching those hands forward. Crawling those hands forward. But at the same time, don't concern yourself with how much you're folding. Especially if it feels like you're just dropping your head. Okay? Again, it's not about the outside look of the poses as much about the inside feel, what we're encountering as we fold, not how we look when we fold. Let's deal with that. I want you to gently rock right to left. Let's try to break open some of those areas that the breath can't quite get to. You're mapping out your body through movement, being able to connect to it a little bit more clearly in your mind's eye through that movement. Then let's roll back up that spine. Take the hands behind you about 6 inches. Fingers facing forward. Roll the shoulders back and down. The chest is open. The jaw is soft. Hips can stay down or you can lift the hips off the floor as you try to reach the knees toward the floor. And your singing voice is still intact. If you want to try to externally rotate those femurs a little bit more, try that. That will be much more of a sensation than a motion on the outside. Let's release those hips back down, roll over those knees into a tabletop, hands and knees. Fingers nice and wide. And we're going to round and arch a few times. Rounding and arching. Rounding and arching. Extra focus in the upper chest and upper back. And especially since we've done this probably every class in the last 10 years. And if you've been here with me these entire 10 years especially, don't fall into autopilot. Okay? Don't let your body just be throwing this together. I need you then to be extra mindful of the evolution of your body, how your body has changed from last time to this time. Okay? Expect that it has. Rediscover like it's brand new. The head continues to go up and down as you round and arch. But now as you continue to let the head go up and down, let that motion of the head come more from the upper back than from the neck. In fact, try to keep the neck more still. You're trying to lift the head and lower the head by arching and rounding the upper back versus arching and rounding the neck. Play around with that a little bit. Okay. Got something new for you then. Uh-oh. I get a little worried when I say that. I want you to arch the back. Okay, the gaze comes up slightly. The chest, the collarbone is open. The fingers are nice and wide. And I want you to bend the elbows. You can just bend them a little bit. You can bend them a little bit extra. But hug the elbows in towards the ribs. Keep the collarbone open. And then press yourself back up and pull it back into an extended child's pose. Easy enough. So far, right? As you pull those hips back, I want you to crawl those fingers forward a little bit more to get a nice stretch in those lats, those intercostal muscles between the ribs. You can gently rock right to left to get in there a little bit extra. Then I want you to take your gaze towards your knees. Round the upper back and pull it up and forward towards the cat stretch. The gaze stays at the knees until you get to that cat stretch, and then you're going to arch into that dog tilt. And then you're going to bend the elbows, reach the heart forward, hug the elbows in, and then press yourself back up and pull it back into an extended child's pose. As you pull the hips back, crawl the fingers forward to get that nice stretch down those lats. Lats are right underneath your armpits. Okay. Along the side bodies. Gently rocking if you'd like. Then once again, take the gaze towards the knees, round the upper back like you're a marionette, pulling up and forward towards that cat stretch. Once you get there, arch. And then bend the elbows, reaching forward through the heart, hugging the elbows in. Fingers stay wide, and press yourself back up, and pull it back into an extended child's pose. Nice. Oftentimes, when we do chaturanga, we just basically close our eyes, hold our breath, and just wait for it to be done. Okay, this is a great way to dissect it, to deconstruct it, to take some fear or anger away from it. Okay. Let's round the upper back, pull up and forward to that cat stretch. Then arch. Then bend the elbows. Keep the collarbone long, keep the elbows in. Press it back up. Fingers wide, pull it back into an extended child's pose. Bada bing, bada boom. Butter. Gently rock, right to left. And let's, once again, take that gaze towards the knees, round the upper back, pull it up and forward towards that cat stretch. Then you're going to arch. Okay. But this time, instead of bending the elbows, you're going to curl the toes under. And lift it up into a downward facing dog. Now pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out. Keep the fingers wide. The feet are about hip width apart. At least two fists could fit between your feet. The neck is relaxing. You're pulling up and back into the crease of the hips, pressing down into the heels. The gaze is back towards the knees. The chest is trying to actually magnetize towards the thighs. Now I want you to drop those knees back down to the floor and arch the back. Bend the elbows. Keep the collarbone open, elbows in, fingers wide. Push yourself back up. Now pull it back into that extended child's pose. Crawl those fingers forward. Stretch the side body, gently rocking if you'd like. Then take the gaze towards the knees, round the upper back. Pull it up and forward towards that cat stretch. Then arch it. Gaze comes up, collarbone is long, curl those toes under, lift the hips up and back, downward facing dog. Pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out. But the general flow of this, the natural flow might feel like it's going, pummeling your shoulders, pummeling your wrists. So we need to try to balance that out by reversing, by pulling up into the crease of the hips and pressing down through the bottoms of the heels. Okay. Now drop those knees to the floor, arch the back, bend the elbows, keep the chest open, elbows in. Then press yourself back up and pull yourself back into that extended child's pose. Okay. Let's drop those elbows to the floor if they aren't already, and let's rinse out those wrists a little bit. Roll those wrists. Stretch those fingers. You can make tight fists. Okay. Yeah. You can roll that head a little bit. Roll that neck. You can move the jaw. Move the hips. But then once again, I want you to keep the gaze at the knees, round the upper back. Pull it up and forward into that cat stretch. Fingers stay wide. Then you're going to arch the back. Gaze comes up. The collarbone is long. Keep the fingers wide as you curl those toes under. Lift those hips up and back. Come up as high as you can on your toes this time. Up as high as you can on those toes in that downward dog. Now stay up on those toes. Pull those hips back further. Keep those hips pulled back. Drop those heels down. Neck stays relaxed. Looking, staring lovingly at your knees. Yeah, good. Some of you actually did it just now. Changed your gaze. We're going to change things up a little bit now. I want you to hinge forward towards a plank. The upside of a push-up. Okay? We're going to take this chaturanga now for a test drive. A little bit. So what I want you to do now, your next test, is to try to lower yourself all the way to the floor, but get the chest to get there before the pelvis. Even if your knees are down. Chest gets there before your pelvis does. And you'll see your pelvis will do whatever it can to try to outrun your chest. Okay? Once you get down to the floor, I want you to release. Okay? Release all the way down. Hands can be back by the hips. Head can be straight down or off to one side. Sometimes it feels a little bit better to have the head turned one way versus the other. Okay? Good. Letting the low back relax. Letting the neck relax. 5 second power nap. But some people are really enjoying this. I think some people are like, I think we're done. I hope we're done. Let the glutes, the butt relax, the legs. And from here, I want you to come up into a Sphinx pose. Sphinx pose. So come up under your forearms with the palms down. Come up under your elbows, your forearms. Elbows are straight underneath your shoulders, okay? Elbows underneath. Your head is up, chest is open, okay? Now, I want you to stay relaxed a little bit within the glutes, the butt, the low back, okay? And I want you to gently just kind of rock the hips right to left. Okay? Now, we're going to engage a little bit more. I want you to engage the muscles it would take to press your pelvis down into the floor more. Now also engage the arms as if you're trying to pull the elbows back towards your hips. Okay, and that should feel like you're now extracting the spine from the hips. Okay, and also extracting the neck from the shoulders. Okay. Now keep that engagement and try to gently rock right to left. It's a good way to stretch out that low back. Okay, not going so forcefully that your eyes are bulging, that you're trembling. Let's release back down to the floor. Take the hands by the armpits. Hands by the armpits. Pull the elbows back and in. Elbows back and in. And now fingers wide, press yourself forward and up into a high cobra and or up dog. Up dog is pressing the tops of the feet in the floor to float the knees. Then drop the knees to the floor, pull it back into an extended child's pose. Should feel pretty good after that. Okay? You can crawl those fingers out a little bit further to stretch those lats, those intercostals, those side bodies. You can gently rock right to the left. If you want, you can drop the elbows. Okay? You can roll the neck. Now take the gaze towards the knees. Round the upper back, pull it up and forward into that cat stretch. Then arch the back. Chin is up. Chest is open. Now curl the toes under. Lift those hips up as high as you can. Come up as high as you can on those toes. Stay up on those toes. Pull those hips back further. Keep those hips pulled back. Drop those heels down. Then pedal it out a little bit. Okay, fingers stay wide. We're going to try it one more time. Okay, hinge forward towards that plank. We're going to do this until you get it right. Just kidding. Just kidding. We're going to be here a long time, Ted. So even if the knees are on the floor, I want you to let the chest win the race here as you lower yourself all the way down. Elbows in, elbows in, elbows in, elbows in. Exactly. So your triceps should say, I hate that game. Okay, but your shoulders will thank you eventually. Let's take the hands underneath the forehead and rest the forehead on the floor. Again, another nice little power nap here. So relax the low back. Relax the butt, the legs. Now I want you to extend, keep the left hand where it is, but extend that right hand towards the front of the room. Right hand towards the front of the room. Right now it can be on the floor. And now I want you to float the left leg and reach through those toes. Try to keep that left leg straight. Now you're going to try to float that right arm and the right hand. Now you're going to try to float the chest and the head. The hand can stay down. You can actually use that left hand as leverage to help you a little bit. You're trying to lengthen more than you're lifting. Reaching through the fingers, reaching through those left toes. The chest is up, the chin is up just slightly. Reach, 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 reach. Then release both hands back down to where they were. Release everything. 5 second power nap. Then let's switch sides. The right hand can go back underneath the forehead. If it's not there already, then the left arm extends forward. Now the right leg floats. Reach through those toes. Try to get that leg straight. Doesn't matter how high it's off the ground, but reach it and try to float it. Now float the left arm as well. Again, it doesn't matter how high it's off the ground, but try to keep it strong. Now try to lift the forehead. Try to lift the chest. Doesn't matter how high it is. Okay, and by lengthening more than you're lifting, there's a good chance that you're going to be engaging the abdominals more. Now let's do a nice Tedism here. Inject greater ease into this. Yes. Yeah, right. Blink your eyes at least once. Yeah. Let's release back down. Yeah, exactly. Let's take the hands by the armpits. Pull the elbows back and in. Yes. Feel that? Saw it. Now keep the elbows back and in. Keep the fingers strong. Press yourself forward and up into that high cobra. Or that up dog by pressing into the tops of the feet. Now keep the knee. Now drop the knees and pull back into an extended child's pose. Good. Arms can stay extended or you can take those hands back into a more traditional child's pose with the hands back by the heels. You can rock a little bit. Roll that neck. Let's try to piece it together a little bit more. Who was afraid I was going to say that? Let's hinge. Let's take the gaze towards the knees, round the upper back, pull it up and forward towards that cat stretch. Now curl those toes under, arch the back, lift the hips up. Come up as high as you can on those toes. Pull back. Drop the heels down, downward facing dog. Pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out. Okay, this time we're going to go straight before we do it. Listen before we do it. We're going to hinge forward to plank, go down through chaturanga, then forward and up into that high cobra or up dog. So go for it. Hinge forward. Lead with the heart, not the hips. Bend the elbows. Elbows back and in as you press yourself forward and up into that high cobra. Now lower yourself all the way down. And come up under your forearms into that Sphinx pose. Sphinx pose. Elbows directly underneath your shoulders. Palms into the floor. Okay. Relaxing the butt in the back initially. And gently rocking right to left. It'll be very subtle. Okay. But now engage a little bit more. Press the pelvis into the floor. Pull the elbows backward. Okay. They won't actually move, hopefully. Okay. But the engagement that you're doing will extract the spine from the hips a little bit more, and hopefully the earlobes from the shoulders a little bit more. The eyes are still soft. Now with this engagement, gently rock right to left. Subtly. Again, it will be subtly. Now release all the way back down. Take the hands by the armpits. Fingers nice and wide. Pull the elbows back and in. Okay. Now press yourself forward and up into that high cobra and or up dog. And this time, rolling over those toes, bend those knees and pull back into a downward dog with deeply bent knees. Downward dog with deeply bent knees so that you can really sink into that place between the shoulder blades. The knees are off the floor, but they're deeply bent. You're sinking into that space between the shoulder blades. Shoulder blades nice and wide. Loving gaze at the knees. And then slowly try to straighten the legs. Pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out. Fingers stay wide. Okay, now we're going to go through that whole thing. Then we're done. To the best of my knowledge. Let's hinge forward towards that plank. Keep the heart in the lead as we bend the elbows. Chaturanga. Elbows back and in as you press yourself forward and up into that high cobra or up dog. The neck exists on all sides. The chest is open. Roll over those toes. Downward facing dog. You can go with straight legs. You can go with bent knees. You can come up on your toes. To get there, find your way into a downward dog that feels best to you. Pedal it out. Take a nice deep breath whenever you find yourself in a downward dog. Fingers stay nice and wide as we try it again. Hinge forward towards that plank. Lead with the heart, even if the knees are down. One big exhale, chaturanga. Elbows back and in as you press yourself forward and up. Neck exists on all sides. Your shoulders are not canoodling with your earlobes. Just roll over those toes, downward facing dog. Pedal it out. Stretch it out. Twist it out. Yeah. Good. Let's take that gaze forward. Bend the knees nice and deeply. Step or jump up and forward. Uttanasana. This is a great time to shake out those wrists. Shake out those wrists a little bit. Yeah. They've been working hard. No matter how much we protect those wrists, sometimes they take a bit of a beating. So taking care of them when you can. Let the upper body blow in the wind a little bit right to left. Put the loving gaze is still at the knees. Gently begin to rock toe to heel. As you rock toe to heel, let the feet migrate together, if they're not already. If that hurts your ankles, I want you to keep your heels slightly apart. But now let's bend the knees nice and deeply. Try to flatten them back. The gaze comes up just slightly. Sweep the hands back by the hips. Press the knees against each other for added support. Now sweep those hands up towards the ceiling as if you're coming into chair pose, but then we're going to straighten the legs. Supported arch, Urdhva Hastasana. The navel pulls in to secure that low back and gives us the leverage in which to arch the upper back, shoulder blades lifting the heart. You're not cranking on the shoulders to get the arms to come back further. They're naturally going back, okay, because you're arching the upper back. Let's go down through heart center as we fold forward so that you don't club your neighbor. Lengthen through the front of the torso as you fold forward. Release that head, release the neck. Then once again, let's bend the knees, flatten the back. The gaze comes up just slightly. Sweep the hands back by the hips. Then sweep the hands up towards the ceiling. Let the hands pull you back up into a supported arch. Then take this length and this openness with you as you fold forward. Lengthen through the front of your torso as you fold. Release the head, release the neck. Let's do it again. Bend the knees, flatten the back. Sweep the hands back by the hips to get the shoulders onto the back plane of the body. And sweep the hands up and let the hands then pull you up into a standing posture, supported arch. Then lengthen through the front of the torso as you fold forward. Do it again. Bend the knees, flatten the back, sweep the hands back. Then sweep the hands up, let the hands pull you back up, supported arch. I want you to do a few more of those on your own. Okay. Good. A few more of those on your own. Really trying to limit the amount that your back is rounded as you're coming up. Really trying to limit the amount that your back is rounded as you're coming up. That's why we're basically trying to unfold the upper body before we even try to straighten the legs. That's why we're taking that significant knee bend to help soften up those hamstrings in the low back. Good. It should feel like you're about to take a huge leap. Okay? It should feel like you are kind of taking that leap, but not leaving the ground, hopefully. Okay? The next time you come up, let's stay up. Then come down to heart center. Roll those shoulders back and down. Interlace those fingers, press those palms forward, rounding that upper back. Stretch between the shoulder blades. Now stretch more between the shoulder blades. Lift those arms up to frame that head. Tilting gently to your right. Try not to collapse the right side as you do it. Equal weight in both feet. Let's take those hands back up and tilt it to the left. Navel stays pulled in to secure that low back. Let's take it back up. And then fold forward. Lengthen through the front of the torso as you fold forward. Release that head. Release the neck. Bend the knees. Flatten the back. But this time, lean into the hands. Take the hands to the floor. Lean into the hands. So much so that your heels begin to come off the floor. So much so that you start getting a little nervous. Then we're going to step or jump back into your plank chaturanga. Lead with the heart, not the hips. Elbows back and in as you press yourself forward and up into that high cobra or that up dog. And roll over those toes into your downward dog. You can go with straight legs. You can go with bent. You can go up on the toes. But find yourself trying to balance out that weight within your downward dog. That natural crushing of the shoulders and the wrists. We're firing the energy back to balance it out, to balance out that work distribution. Let's bend the knees nice and deeply. Take that gaze forward, step or jump up and forward, Uttanasana. Release that head, release the neck. Bend the knees, flatten the back, sweep the hands back by the hips, then sweep the hands up towards the ceiling. Let them pull you up into a standing posture, supported arch, and take that length and that openness with you as you fold forward, Uttanasana. Bend the knees, flatten the back, hands to the floor. Lean into the hand step or jump back into your plank chaturanga. Lead with the heart. Elbows back and in as you press yourself forward and up. Neck exists on all sides. Collarbone is long. Roll over those toes, downward facing dog. Good. I know this kind of sounds like the punchline of a joke, but it's very easy to do a neckless cobra. Okay, when you're in a high cobra or that up dog, we need the neck to exist. We do enough things during the day counter our neck. We're really trying to get that neck out of there. Let's take that gaze forward, step or jump up and forward, Uttanasana. Release that head, release the neck. Bend the knees, sweep the hands back by the hips, and sweep it up into a standing posture, supported arch. I want you to do a few more of those series. Your folding forward is variations of the sun salutation. Okay? And you're stepping or jumping back, lowering yourself down, forward and up into that high cobra or up dog, then rolling it over into downward facing dog. Neck exists, neck exists. Even the back of your neck, especially the back of your neck. Okay, you're not pinching the back of your neck. Once you've spent a little time in that downward dog, you're making your way back up. You're gathering some space and some openness, and then you're starting it again. I want you to just do a few more. Okay, don't necessarily count. We'll just move. Just let the yoga flow out of you. Modify for your body, your body's needs. Even though we're all doing basically the same poses, I want them, each one of you, to look like this series is coming from you, not from me, because you're interpreting the series for your body, for the moment that you're in, for your injuries, for your ability level. So let this feel like a signature series for you. Not because of me, but because of you. Okay. Good. The next time you find yourself in a downward dog, I want you to pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out, and then drop it down into a child's pose. It can be an extended child's pose or a more traditional child's pose with the hands back by the heels. Let the neck roll a little bit. Good. Let the body quiet down. Good. Take care of those wrists a little bit, those fingers. And I want you to hinge up into a tabletop, hands and knees. Fingers are nice and wide. Take the knees, though, to the extreme outside edge of your mat. Extreme outside edge of your mat. Hands are still underneath the shoulders. Fingers still wide. Now let's keep the right hand where it is, but reach that left hand up towards the ceiling. Reach the left hand up towards the ceiling. Try to open up the chest. Let the left hand try to pull you out of your right shoulder a little bit. If your hips just sunk backwards to do that, you just cheated. Just kidding. So try to pull out of that right shoulder without necessarily pulling back into the tailbone to do it. Lifting. Opening the chest. Now we're going to sew the needle. So let the left arm come underneath the right arm. Try to drop that left shoulder all the way to the midline of your mat. Left shoulder all the way to the midline. Really scooch it under there. The right hand is going to be key here. So you can adjust necessarily where it's at, but you're going to be pressing the palm of that right hand into the floor. You can have a nice bent elbow, but press the palm of that right hand into the floor to give you leverage to try to open the chest more in this twist. The left arm is just kind of hanging out down there. But you're pressing into that right hand. And again, you can adjust the placement of it. I tend to put it kind of by my wrist of my other hand. Okay. Kind of a 90 degree elbow. Pressing into the floor to try to open the chest. And to take a little bit of weight off the neck and the head. Playing around with it a little bit. Then let's come back up. We're going to switch sides. So that left hand is going to stay on the floor. And the right hand comes up towards the ceiling. Now pull out of that left shoulder instead of sinking into it. Let there be that rope in your right hand pulling you out. Trying to open your chest more by doing that. But the eyes are still blinkable. Now sew the needle. Right arm slides underneath that left armpit. That right shoulder tries to come all the way to the midline of your mat. Scooch it under there. Scooch, scooch, scooch. Yes. Let that side of the head release. The left hand might be in a good place. If not, adjusting to get that nice 90 degree elbow bend, the palm into the floor, then press gently into the floor to help open the chest. Don't necessarily think about the twist. Let the twist happen because you're opening the chest. Okay. Good. Take one more deep breath here. And come back up into a tabletop, hands and knees. Fingers nice and wide. I want you to do some circles around those wrists. I want you to go clockwise around those wrists, keeping those fingers wide. Then you can go counterclockwise. If you've got freakish elbows like myself, careful not to be hyperextending, locking those puppies. Keep them strong. The arms can still be straight if you have freakish elbows, but try not to go beyond straight. Let's curl those toes under now and lift those hips up and back into your downward facing dog. Pedal it out, stretch it out, twist it out. This is our one last vinyasa. And we've been piecing it together. We've been workshopping it. And now it's time to shine. Okay. Take a moment. Breathing. Fingers nice and wide. Neck relaxed. Eyes a blinky. And now let's hinge forward towards that plank. Lower down. Chaturanga. Heart first. Elbows back and in. Forward and up into that high cobra or that up dog. Neck exists on all sides. Roll over those toes. Downward facing dog. Great job. Let's bend the knees nice and deeply. Step or jump up and forward, Uttanasana. Release that head, release the neck, shake out those wrists. Blow in the wind a little bit. Okay. We're going to take care of these wrists and the shoulders a little bit more now. But they've worked so hard for us. I want you to soften those knees and slowly begin to roll up that spine, vertebrae by vertebrae. The last thing to come up is your head. And once your head comes up, let the legs straighten. Then you're securing the low back by pulling the navel in just slightly, putting on that corset of support along that low back. As you externally rotate the arms, the palms open towards the sides of the room. Then internally rotate the arms to stretch the shoulder blades. Now back and forth, externally rotate to pop the chest, the collarbone. And then internally rotate to get the shoulder blades. Back and forth. Make it a little bit dramatic, but don't let it overflow into the low back. Back and forth. Breaking into that band of tension and tightness of upper chest and upper back. Good. Next time you roll those palms open, let's sweep those hands up. Hiding the ribs so that we can exploit the collarbone. Right. We're going to do eagle pose arms. The right arm in front or on top of that left arm. And wrap those arms around each other. Okay. And if you feel like you got the wrong arm, don't worry. We're going to do the other one next. Right. Engage the arms a little bit against each other. Not necessarily. Your brain might say, oh, do this to stretch my shoulder blades more. They're going to get more. But I want your intention with engagement of arm against arm in this eagle pose to be to open the collarbone more, to try to pull the shoulders more into the back plane of the body. You'll feel the shoulder blades will still get it. Keep that sensation as you try to lift the elbows higher and try to arch the upper back. Shoulder blades lifting the heart. Neck still exists. Keep that sensation as you bend the knees nice and deeply, and then fold forward. Trying to take the chest as close to the thighs, or the arms, I guess, or the chest as close to the thighs as possible. And then, once you're there, if you care to, you can attempt to straighten the legs as much or as little as you'd like. But now also, see if you can't move the elbows slightly forward and backward, like an elephant trunk. What you might encounter now is a deep tissue massage underneath your shoulder blades. Like many deep tissue massages, it might not feel super pleasant initially, but you're in charge of it. So let the elbows, the movement of the elbows, direct the knots that you're untying. Then let's take a nice deep breath into those spaces. Release those arms. Bend the knees nice and deeply. Sweep the hands back by the hips. Then up towards the ceiling. Let the hands pull you up into a standing posture. Then eagle pose arms. Left arm on top or in front, whatever makes it easier for you to think about. Okay, it doesn't have to be pretty. Now use the leverage of arm against arm to try to open up your collarbone more. Because again, there's a good chance that when you wrap these arms, you collapsed your chest. Okay? Again, we do enough things during the day to collapse our chest. So using this leverage to actually try to pull the shoulders back, to try to lengthen the collarbone. Now keep that sensation as you lift the elbows higher. With the shoulder blades, try to lift the heart. Arching that upper back, chin is up slightly. Now bend the knees nice and deeply to really loosen up those hamstrings and that back. And then fold forward, keeping the intensity of the arms. The knees can stay bent, or you can attempt to straighten them as much or as little as you'd like. Play around with the knee bend. And then play around with the movement of the elbows forward and back. Your neck might want to play here. Don't let it. Let the neck relax. If you're trying to hold your head up, there's a good chance that you're tying knots as quickly as you're untying knots. Okay. Let the neck relax. Good. Good. Let's take one more deep breath here into those spaces. Then release the arms. Bend the knees nice and deeply. Sweep the hands back by the hips. Then let the hands sweep up and pull you up into a standing posture. Supported arch. Hands come behind you, interlacing. Again, we're trying to pamper these shoulders. We work the shoulders and the chest and the wrists today, so now we're trying to stretch them out. Let they have their cake and their ice cream. Chest is open, navel secure. Hands are interlaced behind you. Bend the knees nice and deeply. You can press the knees against each other. Now keep the hands riding on the backs of the hips. Keep the knees bent as you take the chest to the thighs, or as close to the thighs as possible. Once it gets as close to those thighs as possible, release the gaze towards the knees. Keep the gaze at the knees as you begin to take those hands up towards the ceiling. The knuckles up towards the ceiling. Okay, behind you, interlace still. Now see what you can do about straightening those legs a little bit more. There's a good chance nothing's going to happen. Okay, at least on the outside. Don't let your neck engage though. Let's reverse out of this. Bend the knees nice and deeply. Release those fingers. Sweep those hands up as if into chair pose. But then pull yourself all the way up. Support it. Pull yourself up onto your toes. Arms are being functional to help you balance on those toes. Keep the arms functional as you take those hands down to heart center, but staying on those toes. Roll those shoulders back and down. Good. Now try to stay up on those toes as you bend the knees into chair pose. Or let the elevator continue to descend, knowing that the elevator tends to speed up when it gets near the second floor. Whether you're in a chair pose or something much lower, I want you now to sit down on the floor and extend those legs, dandasana. Should feel good to straighten those legs. Heels to the top of the mat, shake out those legs. Right. Press into the floor, sit taller. The shoulders roll back slightly, chest is open. Feet are flexed. Sweep the hands up towards the ceiling. Now lengthen through the front of the torso as you fold forward. Lengthen through the front of the torso as you fold forward. Releasing that head, releasing the neck. Good. Now let's lift the head and the chest slightly. And find a grip on the legs or the feet.
Now use that grip as leverage to try to pull more the front of the torso out of the hips. That might unfold you even more. Now I'll try to crawl hands out a little bit further and then release back down. Feet stay flexed to help keep the legs stay strong. Then let's slowly begin to descend backwards, vertebrae by vertebrae. Releasing that head, releasing that neck. Give it a nice little stretch when you get down. Watch out for your neighbor's toes and water bottles. But taking this full circle, bookending your practice. Get into those shoulders, squeeze out a yawn. You can try to get the right hip out of the hip socket, or the right leg out of the hip socket, the left leg out of the hip socket. You can move those fingers, the toes, those wrists, the ankles. Let's do a nice cleansing twist, though. Let's take that right knee into the chest. Hug it in nice and tightly. You can take the nose up to the knee, but if you do that, it comes from the abs more than it comes from the neck. Then release that head back down and guide that knee across the body into a spinal twist. Shifting the hips a bit backward. Shifting the hips to the right, slightly, as you guide that knee across the body to the left. Let that right arm open up in consideration of your neighbor, but also in consideration of the stretch that you want on that right shoulder and on the pec muscles. You can do a little bit of a teeter-totter action between that right knee and that right shoulder to help you get in some little spaces a little bit more, to help you detail that map of your body a little bit more in your mind's eye. And let's take a nice deep breath here. Take that knee back up. Give it a nice squeeze. Then let's switch sides. Hug that left knee in nice and tightly. Hug it in nice and tightly. The head can stay down, or the nose can come up into the knee. Then release that head back down. Scooch the hips a little bit to your left as you guide that knee across the body to your right. Adjusting the angle of your left arm to fit the stretch of your chest and your shoulder. Constantly workshopping. Okay? You're never thinking that you're in a photo shoot. Okay? You're not freezing and trying to stay, get the most perfect looking pose and then trying to hold it perfectly still. We're trying to find sensation. Levity, balance, openness, work distribution. Okay. So we're constantly workshopping because the body is ever changing. So we have to constantly stay connected. You can gently rock right to the left, teeter-tottering. And let's take that knee back up. Give it a nice squeeze. Take both knees in. And keep the knees bent. Drop the feet to the floor. Stretch the hands towards the back of the room. Lengthen. Lift the hips into that extended bridge pose. You can gently rock the hips right to left. Then release those hips slowly back down. The hands can come down by the hips. Gently rock the knees right to left. Right to left. Then let's hug the knees into the chest. One big inhale to pull those knees in tighter. One big exhale to fully release into your final shavasana, your final relaxation pose. Legs can be straight or bent. Eyes can be covered or simply closed. Even here, as much as we want to find openness, stack the deck in your favor. But really, just let your eyes close and let sensation find the pose, the final shavasana, posture that's right for you. You'll know it's right when as much as your body seemingly disappears as possible. We've only got a few minutes here, but I want each moment to feel infinite. Oftentimes we have dreams, or at least I do. I take a nap, and I've only been napping for 5 minutes. But when I wake up, I can't believe it's only been 5 minutes because my dream has extended over a full day, seemingly. Let that be what you're feeling now. Each moment, infinite. Letting the breath open you up and letting the awareness of that breath pull you into that openness. I want you to feel a great openness around your heart. And a brightness behind your eyes. You don't have to literally be smiling, but I want that to be the feeling, the sensation that you have within you. A sense of gratification. Of a practice well done, mixed with an amazing amount of gratitude of what your mind and body have done. Leave here today with that sense. Don't let your practice disappear as soon as you roll up your mat, as soon as you walk out that door. Challenge yourself to ingrain your practice into your already strong foundation so that you feel the residual of it long after your physical practice is done. You feel a weightlessness. You feel in openness. You feel an incredible strength, an incredible balance, an incredible clarity, an incredible mindfulness, because that's what you've cultivated. I want you to slowly begin to move your fingers, your wrists, your ankles, your toes, your head, your neck, and slowly begin to find your way into a comfortable seated posture. Your eyes can remain closed, your body open. As we just take these final few moments to simply sit, to simply be, and find the comfort, the joy simply within that. Whether you're kneeling, whether you're cross-legged, I want you to move that head slightly right to left, maybe a little bit round and round. Let the movement start fairly large, but then get smaller and smaller as you search for the ultimate balance point of your head on your neck. You'll know that you're there when your neck seemingly disappears. When you've found that spot, take at least three more incredibly deep breaths, tapping off your practice by letting it go. The Hindi word namaste not only means hello and goodbye, but it also means the spirit in me honors the spirit in you. Acknowledging the teachers that have come before us, but also and especially acknowledging that teacher within. Namaste. Yum, yum. Feels so good. Thank you very much, everybody. Well done. If you have any questions, please, please, please let me know. Otherwise, put your toys away neatly. Go find a well-deserved treat, some water to wash it down, and we'll see you next time.